I apologize for being late. I have moved. I live 5 minutes from here now, and I was late to the first service. Go figure that. Well, a few announcements as we begin. Here's one that may interest you. It has come from Barbara Allen. And if you are 70 years old or older, we have a phone number that you can call to reserve a spot to get a COVID shot. So if that is of interest to you, yeah, okay. You got a pencil? You got a pen? Paul, well, I'll send it out to everybody. But since Paul has a pen, 307-233-7280. Okay, how many of you have not been getting the emails with the picture, the drawing of the church, the weekly prayer concerns? Have you all been getting those? 70 and older, have you been getting those? Yeah, I heard that. Nyla, you're not? You haven't? If you've not been getting the emails of the weekly prayer concerns with the drawing of the church and the maroon colored, they're very pretty. Let me know and we'll get you the phone number. Okay? Okay. That's important. Other announcements. The board will meet tomorrow evening at 8 o'clock here in the sanctuary. Sound will be provided, so everybody will be able to hear. Yay, that's a good thing. And we'll be able to spread out. So the commissions, if you need to meet, you'll be doing that at 7. And stewardship is doing their Zoom meeting at 6:30. The 100th anniversary has a meeting this Thursday at 7 o'clock in the inner room. And sandwich ministry is Friday at 3:15 and Saturday morning. Are there any other, I think that's all the announcements that we have this week. Anybody else? Announcement? Well, it's good to see you all here, and let's begin this morning with the prelude. Thank you, Arlen. Will you please stand and join me in the call to worship? This is the time and this is the place. Here and now, God waits to break into our experience.
Change our minds. Change our lives. Change our ways.
To help us see the world and the whole of life in a new light. This is the time, as are all times. This is the place, as are all places.
We are not alone. Thanks be to God.
Our opening hymn is Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee.
Almighty God, we come seeking you in the midst of our joy and our brokenness as individuals and as a community. Move among us during this worship so we may experience your presence. By the power of the Holy Spirit, turn us from our foolishness to your truth in our thoughts, prayers, and in all of our lives. For we pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, give thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not.
You may be seated. For our time of prayer this morning, I'd like to ask you all to do something a little bit different today. This has been a very disturbing week for many of us. And so the way I've decided to deal with it here in worship for us is I'm going to offer pastoral prayer, and at towards the end of it, I'm going to ask, and for what else shall we pray? And that is a time for you all, if you would, to please, in a sentence or a word, phrase, offer out loud what you would like to pray for, particularly in light of this week. We are all individuals with different ideas and opinions, and yet we are all a community. And so please don't be afraid. But I invite you to join together in prayer. Let's pray. Merciful God, all together in one place, we come to you this day, always glad for fellowship and sunshine and time, always glad for each other. We are grateful for hearts that are filled with your love and for lives filled with your spirit. On this day, we bring to you our prayers for our church, that you would guide us and lead us and fill us with the wind of your spirit, that you would show us the way. We also bring this day, O God, prayers for those we love and care for, those who are ill, those who are lonely, those who care for others, and we pray for each other. And on this day, O God, for what else shall we pray?
I would like to thank all my brothers and sisters here today. And I'm so proud to be a child of God and know that he came here and died for us, that we might be able to enjoy these freedoms and love one another. And that's something we need to continue to do. Thank you.
And for what else?
Civility and respect to those that don't share our viewpoint.
World peace, church unity, and a cure for COVID and no more hatred.
I'd like to pray for all of us to count our blessings. God has given many of us blessings, but also challenges that we may build strength and know that he is the Lord and he can step in and help and bless all of us. I'd like to pray for all those that have been harmed by violence.
I'd like to pray for the Wyoming legislature as they begin meeting in a variety of different ways over the next couple of months, and the challenges they face as Wyoming's resources tend to change financially, and how we move forward as a people in this state, recognizing that God has greatly blessed the state of Wyoming and its people.
I'll pray for those who are in isolation, who feel like that they just don't have any contact or anything else like that, and pray for strength of our congregation that they reach out to these people to let them know that they're not alone.
God of justice and righteousness, we pray that your love, your grace, and your mercy may abound here, in our community, and in our country. These things we offer to you in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Invite you to share this meal of grace. Christ recognizes you and looks upon you with favor. Christ befriends you and wants you within his circle. Count yourself among Christ's disciples by partaking of this feast of fellowship.
On the night before he died, Jesus sat down to eat supper with his friends. And while they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, he gave it to them and said, "This is my body given for you. Every time you eat this, remember me." And after supper, he took a cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant, which is for all of you. Every time you drink this, remember me."
Let us pray. with grateful hearts, O God, we come to Christ's table, remembering that you spoke creation into existence and pronounced it good. Remembering that you called servants to make your word known and declare your reign. Remembering that you effected salvation through Jesus Christ and reconciled us to you. Be known to us through the gift of your Spirit in the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the cup. Renew your image within us. Restore your trust in our trust in your love. Relish our spirits, refresh our spirits in the caring service. Join us with all the people everywhere in joyous praise of your everlasting love. Amen. Anna lets us present with joy our offerings of commitment and support to the work of Christ Church here in Casper, Wyoming. Let us pray. Dear God, please accept these, our offerings of our time and our talent and our treasures, that through these gifts we can continue the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, and be with in each and every one of us then as we go out and witness to the fact that Jesus is our Savior, and we pray in his name. Amen.
Our scripture reading this morning is Mark 1, 1 through 11. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." You see, Jesus came up out of the water. Dunking. We've been arguing about that for millenniums, for a long time. Long time. All righty. "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down. The mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways. But you were angry, and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people. Your holy cities have become a wilderness. Zion has become a wilderness. Jerusalem, a desolation. Our holy and beautiful house, where our ancestors praised you, has been burned by fire, and all our pleasant places have become ruins. After all of this, will you restrain yourself, O Lord? Will you keep silent and punish us so severely? We began our new church year on the first Sunday of Advent with this reading from the prophet Isaiah. We didn't read it here because we did Hanging of the Greens. But this is the reading for the first Sunday of Advent. Our year begins with a plea for God to come down to us. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down. We realize our sin and transgression. We see that we have become unclean. We know the depth of our iniquity, that we are wretched, in the words of a favorite hymn. Even so, we are so bold as to remind our Creator that we are still the work of God's hand. We beg our Creator to remember we are still God's people. And in the cold and gray of winter, we wonder when God will speak to us. Like the prophet, we ask, after all of this, will you still keep silent? That's the way Advent begins. And today, just 3 weeks into our new year, that question is answered. Today, our plea for God to tear open the heavens and come down becomes reality for all eternity. This year, we will be reading through the Gospel of Mark. Mark is the shortest of the four Gospels. It is brief, it is to the point. The writer doesn't have time for crafted storytelling. The stories are not drawn out with pretty language. Instead, each word in this gospel is intentional and packed with meaning. Not one word is wasted in this gospel of 16 chapters and 8 verses. In Mark, we do not meet Mary or Joseph. We don't see angels or hear heavenly hosts singing. There's no Magnificat, no songs of praise. There's no birth story. There is no Magi. There's no genealogy of ancestors. No flights to Egypt, no mute priests, no busy innkeepers, no frightened king, no slaughter of innocents, and no baby boys growing in wisdom and stature. Not in this gospel. This gospel is for grown-ups that begins not with babies, but with grown-ups. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You want to talk about a packed sentence? That one's loaded. And that is the first sentence of this gospel. And the first event in this gospel is the baptism of Jesus. John the Baptist appears out in the wilderness baptizing for the forgiveness of sins. Word has gotten out, and the people of the entire countryside and all of Jerusalem are making their way to John at the Jordan, and Jesus is a part of that crowd. We don't know if John recognized Jesus or not. We don't know if there was conversation or not. For Mark, those details are not important. The gospel writer only tells us, in those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And then, just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." We are so familiar with this lovely little story that sometimes we miss the impact of it. Because here, God tells Jesus, as God tells us, what baptism is about. Baptism is about identity. Who is this one coming along with the entire countryside and all of Jerusalem? Who is this? Before the work and the ministry of Jesus can begin, we must first know who Jesus is. Before Mark tells the stories of Jesus' public ministry, the stories of what Jesus does, the gospel writer tells us who he is. And unlike Matthew and Luke, in Mark's story, Jesus is the only one who sees the heavens split. He's the only one who hears the voice of God. Jesus knows who he is because he hears the voice of God speak, "You are my Son, the Beloved." Others around him throughout the gospel will discover who he is by listening to what he says, by seeing what he does. But here in Mark, in this moment, we are let in on the secret. Big secret in the book of Mark. We are let in on it. Jesus is who God says he is, and God says Jesus is my Son, the Beloved. That goes on the name tag. That's who Jesus is. It goes on the name tag. This relationship goes on the name tag. Baptism is about identity, and this particular identity shapes the work that is to come. As it is for Jesus, so it is for each of us. Our baptism isn't a rite, initiation rite into a country club. It is not. It is our public declaration of who we are. We come to baptism and we say, I am God's child. It is our public declaration of to whom we belong. We come to baptism and say, I belong to God. The first time I heard that was when my youngest daughter was being baptized. She was being baptized at her dad's church. It was Easter, and I asked Hava to go for a walk around the block with me because I had things I wanted to talk to her. She thought we were going to talk about the Easter Bunny. Which I said, well, okay, we did, but then she told me not to say anything about Santa Claus, which I did not. I wanted to know, since I didn't do her pastor's class, and I just wanted to know why she was being baptized. Fifth grade, why are you being baptized? She didn't miss a beat. Immediately, out of her mouth came, with some drama, I will say, immediately, because I belong to God. Because I belong to God. She taught me that, because I belong to God. And on the day each of us was baptized, the heavens were torn and split open, and the voice of God announced, you are my child, the beloved, and with you I am well pleased. You are my son. You are my daughter. You are the beloved. I am well pleased with you. You make me glad. You are my delight. Now think about that for a minute. You are my delight. How would your life be shaped if it was lived in the full knowledge and acceptance that you are the beloved of God? How would your life be shaped if it was lived knowing and accepting that God is pleased with you, that you are the delight of God? How would we be different if we truly lived as beloved children of God? Because we are, all of us. Seems to me that we are all too aware of our own shortcomings and our failures, our sins and transgressions, our disappointments and our failings and our fallings. Amazing Grace is a lovely hymn. It is loved by many. It is deeply meaningful for many, many Christians. It's meaningful to me as well. It is meaningful to me as well. When my girls were little and wanted a song as they drifted off to sleep, Amazing Grace, I sang it because I could remember all the words. But their father sang it to them often. I can also remember hearing my grandmother sing it at the Willamina Church of Christ. That was across the street from the high school in Willamina, Oregon. The sound of her voice is lovely even now. We all have our reasons why we hold this hymn dear. And yet, I think part of the reason we love it is because we believe we are, as the hymn says, a wretch. You know the line that saved a wretch like me. We know what it is to be lost and blind. We know our fears and our shortcomings very well, and quite frankly, I think some of us enjoy our wretchedness more than we love or enjoy our belovedness. And let me just say, as a disclaimer, this is my opinion and my opinion only, and it is not required of anyone. I do. I think we love our wretchedness more than our belovedness. Just saying. Something to think about. And then this week I thought, maybe that's because we're not taught about our own belovedness and our own goodness. Maybe we're not taught about that. How well do we know our own internal and eternal goodness? I mean, that's what God says about us. Deep within our soul, do we know that we were good? We are good. deep within our soul, do we accept that we are the delight of God? Maybe we know it, but maybe the accepting part is the hard thing for us to do. In our deepest places of being, how do we live as deeply loved by God? We can deny it, we can choose to ignore it and disregard it, but nothing can change that ultimate truth that God loves us, that God is pleased with us, that we are the delight of God. At creation, God breathes life into the human beings and only then declares creation very good. Not just good, but very good. And at baptism, we step into the water to proclaim who we are, and God splits the heavens to proclaim our goodness. We are pleasing to God. In baptism, Jesus is who God says he is. His life and his work are shaped by that truth. And in baptism, we are who God says we are, whether we believe it or not. And we too must shape our life and work by that truth as well. Along with the prophet Isaiah, our plea has been answered. In Jesus, God has come down to live among us. We are the work of God's hands. We are God's people, and the heavens have been torn. The heavens have been split open, and God has been set loose on the world. At each and every baptism, at your baptism, the voice of God speaks clearly, "You are my beloved child, and with you, I am well pleased." Let us pray. Eternal God, open the eyes of our souls and our spirits so that we may see who we truly are, that we may live as your beloved children. Amen. Amen. Our closing hymn today, if you would please stand, is Wonder of Wonders Here Revealed. It is a tune that we all know. Don't remember what it is, but I'm sure it is. Okay, I don't know what I did there. I did it all before, early in December, so maybe I was not present when I did that. If you are over 70 and want the phone number, I will have it back there, and I will send it out. Just remembered where I put it, sorry. And I'll send it out in an email later this afternoon. It's lovely to see you all here today, really. And you all have a very good week. And now may the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah be with you all as you go forth in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.